The following Big Breakfast contains Marto, Robin and Nick Cody.
Today on the show, I put forward the idea of passengers needing a license before they can get on a plane. Let's cut out annoying things that they're doing. And you'll find out if you qualify for a license.
One of the most popular shows on pay TV, Grand Designs, has got a few derivatives running off it. And one of our very good friends, Lawrence Mooney, has decided to take the mickey out of it.
And are bald men sexy? Finally, we have a definitive answer.
I'm proposing a new license, guys. Obviously, you need a license to drive a car. You need a license for many things. I think if you don't fly, right, before your first flight, you should have to book it at a travel agent. Yeah. And you should have to pass a simple quiz, right, and you get a license to be a passenger on a plane. I've had enough. I've flied 90, 100 times a year, and there are people just doing some outlandish stuff.
Well, and you think they're first-timers, and they haven't, they get a bit excited because they're rookies.
Yeah, I reckon 100%. Even worse if they do fly, and they're still making these mistakes. So I just think everybody should sit a very basic test, right? First of all, should you take your shoes off when you go to the bathroom on a plane? No, don't be an animal.
Okay, hang on. What is your ruling of taking your shoes off sitting in your seat?
That's fine.
Is it?
International. International, long haul, but you've got to keep socks on.
Yeah, and make sure they're clean.
You're a savage and I will kill you on that plane.
Are you allowed to catch a plane in thongs if it's not going to or from Cairns?
Or bikini tops.
It has to be over 80% humidity for you to be wearing thongs on an aircraft.
Are you allowed to wear high vis with paint specs on them on a plane?
As long as you've got...
If you're working on it, yeah. If you're fixing it.
No, I mean passenger.
who's wearing high vis as a passenger?
Oh, you fly on a Monday, they're all going to do their FIFOs.
Yeah, no, but put the high vis away.
Oh, no, makes them
identifiable.
Before you get there.
That's all they've got, though.
Makes them identifiable.
Some people have got going out high vis and some people have got their work high vis.
Yeah. That's fair enough.
Also, blokes, deodorant, it's a thing. You actually can buy it.
I think that's just life.
No, you have to smell yourself before you're going to sit next to someone.
You got to sniff under your pits.
Yes.
Now we know what annoys you.
Oh, man, I can't stand it. I cannot stand it. And if you stink, you have a special place at the back of the plane with all the stinky people.
The designated indoor.
It's called Tiger.
Stinky area.
If you stink,
yes.
Get on Tiger, you dero. Now, how about this? I saw a bloke. I couldn't believe this. A bloke, I reckon late 40s, early 50s, watching a movie on his iPad. Not using headphones.
Oh, whoa.
like it's a teenager on a train playing music off his phone. Right? That's acceptable. If you're a grown adult and you're watching a film, no headphones, you should be tasered.
That would be on the licensing test.
That's on the license. The other one, you know, Virgin do this. If you're row 15 or beyond, you're bored at the back of the plane.
Yeah.
Right, to stop congestion.
Yep.
I had a bloke that he walked, so he's gotten on the back of the plane and then he starts pushing by everyone. And I said, "What row are you in, mate?" And he said, 2.
Oh, you idiot.
He's in business class and he's gotten on the back of the plane. I don't know what business he does, but I want no part of it.
He was unlicensed, clearly.
And I've just got to know, give us a call, 133353, what do people do on planes that just annoy you?
Can I throw one last one on?
Go on.
Of course.
Yeah. When they don't put their bags above their seat, whether you plonk yourself down, you're in row 8, and some person's in row 22, and they put their bag above your seat.
Oh, you have your designated bag spot.
Yeah, you've got to be above you. You can't go just putting them all over the
willy nilly. Yeah. I was on a flight the other week. There was a girl in front of me with when everybody was getting water, they were giving out little bottles of water. And she said, actually, I'm trying to be environmentally conscious. Can you please just pour some water into my keep cup? And I'm like, that's fine on the ground, but if you're using dinosaur bones to fly through the air at 900 kilometres an hour, you're not really thinking about the environment.
I know.
You know what I mean? Pick a side. What team are you on? You on team hippie or team plane?
Exactly. Hitchhike on the next trip. Can I check two things? That you were calling for a license if you've never flown before. When you're walking past somebody, you've got, say you're in the window seat and they don't, you know, some people don't get up. They just move their knees forward. Mm. Do you face them with your groin or with your bum?
Depends who they are.
Okay. What
if they're very rude about it, it's a good time for a crop dust.
Right, okay.
Sneaky farts that you just use to cover a certain area.
Okay, you
always
would not.
Keep one in the chamber.
Glenn of Aspley, what do people do in planes that annoy you?
Yeah, I reckon there is always one person that decides that the ultimate time to use the bathroom is when the drink or the food cart is in the aisle. You can see the cabin crew just rolling their eyes. I mean, it obviously grates against them as well, but that just does my head in.
Glenn, do you reckon they should get a human X-ray machine just before you get on to register how full your bladder is? And you can be, hey, listen, mate, you're over half. You're going to have to go and empty that before you get on the plane. Or poke it.
And also,
just poke you in the guts. And if you go, ooh, and a bit comes out, you're up the back. Row 30 for you.
If you have a weak bladder, don't take a window seat, ever.
That's true.
Yeah,
seriously. That's
true. Dan. I love a plain beer. That's why I always sit in the aisle.
Yeah. Dan of Newstead, what do people do on planes that annoy you?
Oh, you know what it's like. You're either taxiing to the terminal or you're taxiing out to the runway, and there's always one idiot. Everyone's strapped in, even the flight attendant, and there's always one idiot that has to get up and wants to stuff around with her overhead luggage.
Oh, yeah.
I get to her. Her?
Oh,
yeah. Her overhead luggage? Just saying.
I do love the plane at a bloody 45-degree angle. Clearly it's not time to stand up and just people getting up and pulling out a laptop. They're just going to tumble down
to
the back.
Hosties getting tasers, would that be okay?
Oh, for sure.
Get Darren Weir to be a steward.
But I was on a flight once when the plane was literally coming into land. Like the wheels were just about to touch down and this bloke gets up.
Has a seat.
And you can see the hosties absolutely going psycho because they can't get up either. So they're getting on the loudspeaker going, well, that gentleman in row, sit down with that gentleman. And I'm thinking, what? What are they going to do?
It is a bit passive aggressive from them, isn't it? Excuse me, it's still time to be seated. And so I just call them out. Yeah. Oi, dickhead, get your chair.
Can I get one more ruling from you, Nick? How long does the trip have to be, remembering Brisbane to Melbourne, 2 hours, how long does the trip have to be before you're allowed to recline? Like, I don't believe anything under 2 hours you should recline your seat.
Yeah, nothing domestic unless you're going coast to coast, I reckon. East coast to west coast.
Yep, fair enough.
If you're hungover,
there's no hangover rule.
Yeah, there is.
The only thing that's good on a one-hour flight if somebody in front of you puts their seat back is that they're closer for you to choke out.
Oh, right.
It's like you've...
Steve. No, this is Steve of Eaton's Hill. Are you
we'll
there?
We'll finish with Steve.
Yeah, g'day, guys.
Hello, mate.
Yeah, look, that actually just raised a point. It really gets my goat. Like the major cities between Brisbane and Sydney and Melbourne and Melbourne and Adelaide, it's about a one-hour flight. Why have they got to recline their seat for an hour? Can't they sit up straight?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. We were just talking about it.
I think the most upsetting thing there is that Steve referred to Adelaide as a city. Won't have any of that.
One of the biggest shows on TV, especially pay TV, is Grand Design, where Kevin McLeod goes around the world watching these people do these outlandish displays. And it's starting to branch out. Like there's an Australian version, and now there's another version. It may or may not be. We've got a snippet here. This may be Kevin McLeod, or it might even be Lawrence Mooney.
Hello, I'm Kevin McLeod, and welcome to Aged Care Grand Designs. Everybody dies, but most of us want to live to a ripe old age and die peacefully in our dotage, enjoying the twilight, surrounded by our caring families, our belongings, and in a degree of comfort we've created for ourselves in the homes we've built around us. Oh, too bad, Nan and Pop. We've got other plans. We're going to bulldoze your place in Maroubra and use the equity to construct some gaudy townhouses. It's off to the nursing home for you.
What's your name?
Excuse me. A lot of people refer to aged care facilities as God's waiting room. And with good reason. They are. But does it have to be a bleak gulag of stark rooms, zombies wandering the corridors, and lifeless TV living areas with Jason recliner rockers rocking slowly to daytime cooking shows that nobody ever watches? Whatever happened to Peter Everett?
Could you write me a chicken sandwich?
No, I can't. I've got a show to do. Not for Nigel Corelli, fourth generation Australian-Italian. He's done something spectacular with his apartment, which is essentially a cell without bars.
I've done a wee. Are my children visiting today?
I don't think they're ever coming. He's turned his room into an Italian theme park. There's a scale model Colosseum made from the false teeth of past residents. A leaning tower of Pisa dominates the room, fashioned from precariously stacked Zimmer frames and the pièce de résistance. Nigel Corelli gets his nursing home mate, Terry Barnard, to stand naked next to the tiny bar fridge, posing as the Statue of David.
What's your name?
Terry has Alzheimer's and refers to Nigel as an old wog, in a nostalgic callback to an earlier age of Australian culture. As the sun sets on this celebration of Renaissance-inspired design and a life well-lived, an aged care worker called Prakash beats Terry with a slipper and force-feeds him mashed potato. So it's goodbye from Aged Care Grand Designs.
What's your name?
Breakfast Triple M.
They say money makes the world go round.
Show me the money.
Well, unless you're a flat earther. Then you've got a whole lot of other issues going on.
Make money, money, make money, money, money.
We've won $1 million with Triple M's Millionaire Listener.
Yeah, yeah, I'm living life in the fast lane.
The Big Breakfast with Marto, Robin and Nick Cody in the morning. And $1 million while you're at work. 104.5 Triple M.
I want to chuck some statistics at you, and I'm looking at the three men that I am watching in the studio. Mm. And how many of you are losing your hair, Brendan?
I lost my hair. It's gone.
It's gone.
I'm growing mine mainly out of my ears, but I've got most of my hair, I think. Yeah,
okay,
it's growing.
Nick?
And this will make Brendo feel very happy. Mine is thick and luscious and not falling out anytime soon.
You know, also red.
Yours has got red in it. It's like
the beard's red. The beard's red.
Okay, I'm going to. There's some interesting statistics that have come out of Florida's Barry University.
Hold on.
Barry?
Isn't the university named after Barry?
Barry University.
There is. Okay.
I went to Jaden College.
Okay, park that for a second because this is interesting. Yeah. By the age of 35, approximately 66% of men lose a considerable amount of hair. Mm. By 55, almost 90% of men have incurred significant to total hair loss. Mm. By the age of 55, 85% of men have incurred a complete Mr. Clean status. Mm. So, Brenda, you're just ahead of the pack. That's
what's
all.
What's that last one? 80?
A bald head of
85.
85% of 55 pluses.
Are gone.
You're in the minority there,
God.
Mr. Martin. Anyway, what this university decided to do was to check how people felt about balding men because, Brenda, is it fair to say that you feel that it's not the way you'd want to be?
Well, originally, but it's genetics and you can't change it and...
But I think not with that attitude.
Well, I think there's a real stigma. Well, you can change it, but I feel like there's this real stigma about it that you have to have hair. And it's like, well, that's not the case.
Well, but are you sexy, gorgeous, intelligent? Are you considered by other people to be all of those things if you're bald? Well,
you've read my Tinder profile, obviously.
Vin Diesel and Bruce Willis, they're
exactly
both
exactly right.
All right.
Yeah. John Howard.
The Rock.
John Howard.
Alfred Hitchcock.
Okay, can you not put John Howard in that mix?
Stop.
Okay, so what the Barry University
did. Nathan Lyon.
Nathan
Lyon. Sex on legs.
The participants were rated in four quadrants. Physical attractiveness, aggressiveness, appeasement, and social maturity ranging from honesty to intelligence and social status. The study had two groups of participants. One group scored photos of men who had full heads of hair.
Yeah.
The other group scored the same man but with his hair computer digitally removed. So they took the hair off him.
Same face.
So same guy.
How good are the professors at Barry?
The results showcase that overall, most people from the group perceived the bald men as more honest, more intelligent, stronger, and here's the kicker here, sexier and more masculine.
Wow.
Correct.
Correct.
Good on Barry University. Yeah. He's right on board.
Wally Lewis is another one. And as you said, Jason Statham. Yeah, Bruce Willis.
There never used to be many people on TV. Who else in Wally Lewis is bald on TV? Koshy.
Oh, yeah. Gosh. Well, oh, I wouldn't put it in. Okay, yeah. Intelligent. Yeah. He's got the intelligence going. So my
the
question...
cash cow and the sexy cow.
My question is this. Are bald men sexier?
Who are you asking?
Everyone. 133353. Because as Brendo said, the perception is that they're not. But clearly
well,
the research shows that
we're asking girls,
men.
Are we?
No, we can ask other men. You look at a bloke and think that's an attractive kind of guy.
There's only the one. You know I only find one other guy sexy.
Thanks,
Brad
mate.
Thorne.
Jet Kenny. Oh. Jet Kenny.
I've been listening.
And Brad Thorne. And Brad Thorne.
Yeah, but don't tell him that.
Okay. All right. Too late. Are bald men sexier? Yeah. Be honest.
Can I just get your opinion? If I offered you up a bald guy, a guy with a man bun.
Ooh. Oh. Bald.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, that was easy, I thought.
Well, but I, you know what it is? I think a bald guy has come to terms with who he is, and if you're going to shave your head, you're going to have to own it. And therefore, there's a confidence that is really attractive.
My wife says that. Better none than half.
Oh.
You know, those people that are hanging on to the straggly pieces.
Yeah. No. Yeah,
just brushing
it
forward. And
yeah, no, yeah, don't no do good. That. Nikki of Goodna, what do you reckon? Are bald men sexier?
Oh, definitely. For sure. And, yeah, whenever I go out and stuff, I'm always having to tell people, men and female, to keep their hands off my man's head.
Oh, yeah. Do people touch his head?
Yeah, he's really sexy. And it's that people have got a thing about wanting to touch his head. I don't blame him because, yeah.
So he really he nice, shaves it really smooth, does he?
He does. He does get a bit of a shine happening. And
oh, that's
but,
cute.
Yeah, he's a good-looking man, so. But I would, yeah, you see all those stupid ads coming up about... You know, growing hair and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I'd be horrified if you ever wanted to look into that crap. It's horrible.
Nick, did your bloke ever try to hang on to it for a while?
Well, I wasn't with him then. So, yeah, we're both born in the 70s. So, yeah, no, he apparently lost it in his 30s or something. So, yeah, I just wouldn't want to see him with hair. I've seen photos of him and it's just... It's totally different, but bring on the Borgs. It's really cool.
Good. See, she's proving our theory from Barry University, Cat of the Gold Coast. What do you reckon about bald men? Are they sexier?
No way. Oh, yeah. My Lord. It's a generous forehead that has spread down their back. I want to slap them every time I see them.
Committing acts of violence?
Barry University, he must be... Barry sounds like a bald bloke.
Oh, now come up. What is it that is so offensive to you?
Yeah,
different
Barry
results
Ballboy.
Came out of Keith College.
No way. Nah, it's all wrong. Nah, Kerry's better. Not half hair, full hair.
Okay. Kat, do you like running your hands through a man's hair?
No, I don't like running my hands through any man's hair or head at that thing, but Kerry's better.
Okay.
Righto. I have nothing.
Well,
she feels very strongly about it.
I know. I don't understand why you're so passionate, Kat.
Something happened.
Because I like men with hair.
Okay.
It's just delightful. Plus, it's sun protection. Natural sun protection.
Great.
Okay.
Well, you sound fun, Kat.
Yeah.
Cat sounds fun. Good on it.
How did our research go? Is
our
it
matching
Barry's?
Went really well. 75% of callers do think bald men are sexier.
You're the one who's reading that and we can't see it from the side of the desk and you're bald.
Yeah.
Can I come around and
you
check
can come
those
around.
Figures?
Please.
All right. No, that
get
was
off a, your
that
ass. Come around here. Check the screen. Because 25% of our callers appear to be blind. It is the big breakfast.
People with hair are lazy. I'm not coming over. The advertisements are working. Clive Palmer has nearly got me. I don't like the Liberals. I don't like Labor. I'm thinking about Clive. He has been bombarding me with those ads, and I'm going, maybe he might be all right.
That's a yellow card.
I know.
Yellow card.
Keep your mind open.
Much like his signs. He'd love that, a yellow card.
Do you know how much he's actually spent on all that advertising? It was revealed last night on the news.
Queensland's Clive Palmer has reportedly spent $7 billion in an attempt to reboot his political career.
$7 billion.
That's not just on the ads. That's also everything. The rebuild of whatever his career was.
Oh, my God.
Is that his phone bill? Is that too many texts he sent out?
Oh, God. Well, that costs everything costs money. I tell you, can we go to talk about one of them? You know that Twisted Sister one, we're not going to take it. You know this ad?
Australia ain't going to cop it. No, Australia's not going to cop it.
catchy.
Well, just coincidentally. So Twisted Sister sang that, and as of yesterday, they said, we're going to sue you, we're going to sue you. Well, their lead singer, Dee Snider, has arrived in Australia. They had a series of tours, just coincidentally, before the ads went to air.
Okay.
They had some bookings here. He's arrived. He looks like a thinnish Hulk Hogan, I suppose you could describe him.
Meth Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, meth Hulk Hogan. Icy Hulk. So, Twisted Sister rocker Dee Snider has arrived in Australia and he's ready to fight Clive Palmer, but not just in the courts. He is actually, here's the quote from him. I'd like to have a fist fight with him, Snider said. I'm 63, he's 64. Let's get rid of the lawyers and duke it out. Just don't let him sit on me. I'm fit as F, he says. I'll kick his ass, but he's got only got the one move, the ass plant. So he's claiming he could crush me if he gets hold of me. There'd be nothing I could do. This is extraordinary. He's been challenged. Clive Palmer has been challenged to a fight. And I've had a look at the bloke. He actually looks pretty tidy. And it says to me, drugs are better for you than food. Have a look how well he is.
He's very fit.
This is incredible. Keith Richards has got it right all this time.
He better watch out for Clive behind the wheel. That's all he's got to watch out for while he's here.
Oh, well, yes, of course.
The odd crash.
Is that included in the $7 billion, all these fines?
Big breakfast, Triple M.
You know, this time of year, everyone's going to new memberships at gyms and starting courses and everything else. Where did I tell you yesterday I was going, guys?
You were going to some self-improvement course. What part of your life needs to be improved?
All right. What is that?
Tony Robbins? Esque?
No.
Could you imagine?
I'm reading it off now. My best mate sent me this, and we like fishing together and all the rest of it. His kids like fishing. So he sent me the email that they sent him. You're invited to the exclusive club event at BCF.
Oh, boating, camping, fishing.
Boating, camping, fishing. And it says you're going to have BCFing fun.
Right.
But the thing is, I said, well, we want to go there on a Wednesday night. He said, read the email, and here we go.
Okay.
Soft plastic rigging workshop. Whoa.
Ooh. Okay, well, what is
You know, instead of using real bait, you get... All right.
What's that made from? Soft plastic rigging.
Oh, you know, you get the little pretend fish, and then you have to slide a hook through them, and there was demonstrations. I said, quite interesting.
Great.
And then there was cast net throwing workshop, and I have trouble sometimes with my cast netting. I thought, instead of just looking on YouTube, go and speak to a human and get him to show you what you're doing wrong. Unfortunately, I still got to the shop last night at Greenslopes and I said, well, who's doing the cast net? When's that one on? Oh, I cut my finger on the weekend. That won't be on. I went, oh, let down.
And then there was one fella who could show you.
Yeah. Hot tips and tricks for catching prawns and squid in Moreton Bay. Wow. This is why we had to go. This is my self-improvement.
I'm looking at you with a very quizzical look because I'm thinking...
I still love that this is referred to as self-improvement.
Well, I've got to tell Kath where I'm going.
Were they court-ordered?
Who, the other people who were there? Getting it ticked off your community service. Actually, have a listen to... I'm not bagging anyone, okay? I want to be clear here.
No, I'm talking about you.
Here's a couple of the presenters on the night. I'll take it away. What was it about?
Downstairs, we've got some boys showing people how to rig plastics at the moment. They're also doing some leader nights. We're going to continue that on tonight as well. Also, there's been a lot of requests for casting.
See, a lot of requests for casting, and that's when he said the bloke's cut his finger, it won't be on tonight. Lot of people learning how to do knots. And then there was a promise, and this came on the email. Oh, I've lost it now. Steve and Alan or whatever their names were from Frogley's. Now, they were magnificent.
Hi, everyone. I'm Aaron, by the way. That's Steve. Do a couple of quick little things, then we'll get in. People want to do some talk about fishing for whiting on surface. How many people have done that here?
All right, my
hands up. How many? Yep.
All right.
What else happened at Old Man Scouts?
Okay, for those that don't know, we come to work super early. I'm usually on the road at about 3:45, between 3:30 and 4 o'clock. And this morning I was driving down Kenmore Road because I live in the western suburbs. And usually when I drive to work because I come through Fig Tree Pocket, there's lots and lots of wildlife around the place. I'll see 20 frogmouths, I'll see foxes, I'll see rabbits. Mm. And, of course, I see possums. And this morning, as I was driving through, it's so distressing. Mm. This little possum came out from the side, and before I even realised...
It's all right.
It was under
it's
the...
It's all right. Just breathe.
I killed a possum.
Mm. Mm.
And I stopped the car Marto, stop it.
Sorry, I'm upset.
Okay. I stopped the car because it must have been in motion, like it must have spun off
they
the
do,
wheel.
They do move, yep.
And it landed in the gutter and I stopped to check and it was dead.
You stopped. Did you try to give it mouth to mouth?
No, I did not try to give it mouth to mouth. But if it had been injured, I always have a towel in the back of my car. I'm not
what,
sure
what to
I...
smother it with.
I don't know what I would have done, actually, to be honest. But it was so distressing. I don't want to hit a possum.
Under the 1975 Possum Act Australia, it is illegal to capture and release or kill possums without a licence.
But I didn't kill
it on
purpose.
I believe the
police
will be turning up very shortly.
Oh, wow.
Mate, she's got a driver's licence. She was in her car.
No, you have to have a licence to actually...
Okay, if the possum is...
You don't have a possum licence.
Licence, you 007.
Okay, hang on. I get it if you're going out to kill a possum. Like, New Zealanders do it all the time for their skin, right?
But they're allowed to.
Okay, but I didn't go...
You can eat possum?
Yeah, you can in New Zealand.
Why wouldn't we be able to eat them here? Like, this is 1975. I'll stick up for you here because they're in plague proportions. They probably weren't in plague proportions in 1975. We looked. I know we got unemployment worries and everything else, but I think Parliament needs to have a look at this. There's too many of the buggers. I think if more people did the right thing like you. And
I didn't do the right thing. It just ran out. I mean, maybe it was escaping from its possum lair.
I had one in my kitchen the other night. Would you bring your car and drive around my kitchen? I had one in my bedroom. What? That was last Thursday. So twice in the last week, I've had one in my house. You've got in the backyard. Come
all
and do
over
some
the backyard.
Circle work in Nick's backyard. There'll be people wanting you to drive your car up their tree, on their roof.
My dog comes up to Queensland next week. I can't wait to just let Yumi go, right? I'm letting her out.
Can
I'm so excited.
Dogs?
She's moving up. Yep.
Actually, what's the deal? What's the ruling? Does it have in the 1975 Act what happens if a dog gets a possum?
It doesn't mention dogs. It doesn't mention those powerful owl, the ones that cuss their heads off. Like, is it going to get arrested? Are they rounding all of them up? No.
No.
Couple of dobbed yourself in here.
They're rats in trees and rats in your roof. Like, would you let rats live in your roof? No.
But they're a native species. You don't want to be taking out native species of
Australia.
There's
lots of them.
I can't believe we have legislation called the Possum Act. What country are we?
Yeah, and why is, if they're native to Australia, are they in New Zealand? See, maybe we should reclassify
swimming possum.
Them.
How did they get over there?
They get here.
Or did you reckon they came from there or did they come from here?
But why are they considered native to Australia? They're just, if they're in New Zealand.
Oh, hold on, you're carrying your tracks up here. Let's not forget there's somebody killed something here this morning.
But for society, it was for our benefit.
Well, for the greater good of the universe.
Yeah,
I took
for Australia. You did it for Australia.
No, I didn't.
You smashed into that poor creature for the good of our country.
It smashed into my wheel of my car.
Oh, that's your defence, is it?
Did you leave it in the gutter?
He headbutted my fist, Your Honour.
Yesterday morning, we were talking about how do you hide your purchases from your partner, because I was looking at this Camilla frock that was worth $700 and I just realised that there was no way that that was going to make it into my wardrobe undetected. And
I had a look at the Camilla website, by the way.
Oh, did you? What did you find?
That black dress is the most plain one. The rest, it's like, if you want to dress up like a peacock, you get a Camilla by the looks of
these.
It's a lot of colour, a lot of pattern. Carpet.
And you can do lots of things with them. Did you find any on sale, by the way? Because I haven't. No, sorry. Okay. Anyway, we were asking you guys, how do you hide your purchases from your partner? And we had some calls from Scott of the Grange and Brent of Crestmead.
One of my mates, I'm not sure how he did it financially, but he bought a red Ducati motorbike, which was exactly the same as one of his mates. Same helmet. So if ever he was pictured on this bike, just said it was his mate's and he kept it at the same mate's house.
Whenever the missus asked me to go get some dinner from shops, I'll take it. $20 on FPOS and just stockpile it slowly that way.
But how do you pay for the meal?
He pays for it on card.
And then I'll take out FPOS so it looks as if I've just spent a little bit extra every time.
So, lots of calls about motorbikes and blokes, ripping off their wives at the supermarket. But I'm just curious about people who hide their gambling. We didn't really get into that side of things.
And there's plenty of blokes do that. You know how they do it by having multiple accounts. And I went to BCF last night. There was an education evening. I'll talk about it later in the show. But I ended up spending a little bit of money.
Mm.
I put half of it on my credit card and half of it on my check account, on my debit card. So Kath won't bring the two together and go, well, they look like the same night.
Hope you're listening, Kath.
Yeah. Oh, no, she got some new, anyway.
I had a mate with his gambling problem, he'd lose money on the pokies and then tell his girlfriend that he got robbed down at the pub, but he'd be robbed by whatever, like, the nationality of the machine was. So if he lost it all on the hot chili pokies machine, he'd say a Mexican bandito stole all of his cash.
And she believed that every time.
She loved,
How many times does he rob?
He got robbed by the Phantom. He got robbed by a black rhino.
Oh, God.
Okay, how do you hide your purchases? Okay, you guys that do sort of gambling, also tradies, if you've done, you know, you've been able to get tools into your shed without your partner knowing. I heard a story a couple of weeks ago about a guy who used to tell his missus that he only earned 80% of his wage and kept 20% for himself.
Oh, how do you do that?
I don't know. Oh, you'd probably get your employee to put, your employer to put it in two separate accounts.
Smart.
That's not smart. No, that's fraud.
That's barely married.
Is it fraud?
That's grounds for divorce.
Oh, well, I would have thought
so. What was he doing with the 20%?
I don't know. Having a really good time. Mm. Oh, maybe.
That's sugar daddy work.
Bit sus, isn't it?
Mm. Peter of Wynnum, how do you hide your purchases from your partner?
Wasn't me, but this is like 25, 30 years ago. This new Australian guy I worked with, he used to take his pay packet home and show his missus, and she couldn't understand much English and that. And he'd pointed out that this is the tax and I have to take this money out and pay the tax.
Right.
And then taking advantage of...
What was he doing with that money?
Horses, beer, smokes, whatever.
Well, that's taxed. That's heavily taxed. He is paying tax. They are very heavily taxed things.
That's so mean.
So sneaky.
Doing it to your wife. Dan of the Sunny Coast, how'd you do? How'd you hide your purchases from your partner?
I like to play the pokies and have a good punt, so I just tell her I'm a compulsive loser and all the wins I have go straight in the car.
Where do you store it? In the glove box? Ashtray? Where do you put it?
Glove box. I also found she doesn't check the coin department of the wallet. She always wants to know, so I just fold the 50s up and put them in the coin department.
Oh.
So she's just finding more red cups around the place. You might be the first gambler that tells his partner that he just loses all the time. Well, it's the opposite.
Big breakfast, Triple M.
It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show.
Triple M.